This is an
Get It
In special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
I don't know what happened.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this Thursday evening. I'll start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
Let's go to Ed in Waterford. Let me try that again. Ed in Waterford. I still didn't say it right. Ed in Waterford.
What?
What's up, Ed?
Good evening to Don.
Oh, by the way, that's Ice Picks brought to you by BetMGM. Don't step on the reed.
Good evening to Carlin.
Silicon Valley.
And good evening to myself.
Hold on.
Chris, how's your day?
Pedro, it's outstanding. And I have been waiting for this all day, to tell you the truth.
Really?
Yeah, no, listen, I've really been doing nothing. Like sitting and staring and waiting for any side effects from the second shot that I got yesterday.
Did you get any?
I didn't. I've been very fortunate. Well, drank a lot of water.
See, that's it. And that was a great service you did tweeting that out, because that really helped me, because I got horror story after horror story from people that took that second Pfizer shot, including Michael, and they were floored. And I was nervous because I had like a full day of K and a Ranger play-by-play the day after my second shot. And I just drank a lot of water and I was okay.
Yeah, I probably drank about 4 gallons between yesterday and today, and there's been a lot of trips. But, hey, it's been worth it to not feel it, put it that way.
Big win for the New York Knickerbockers last night. Just a big OT victory over Atlanta. And, sure, Trae Young gets hurt in the third quarter. Guys, is there anything of all the injuries in sports that you see replays of, that I mean are in the realm of normalcy? I'm not talking about, like, you know, the kid from Louisville. I'm talking about, like, you know, in the realm of normalcy. Mm. How much do you hate the replay of just a terrible ankle roll?
It's the worst. It is absolutely the worst, especially if you've done it and broken a bone.
Have you done that?
I have done that. And, I mean, listen, it was an incredible crossover, so it was so worth it.
You crossed yourself over. It was one of those.
Exactly. The crossover was so good that I shattered my own ankle, as opposed to somebody else's.
Yeah, that's not usually how it's done.
No, it's not. But I don't do it the way you want me to do it. I do it the way I do it.
Right. You do it. Yeah. You're like Don's haircut when it comes to basketball.
Exactly.
You just do it for you.
Exactly.
No, but they kept showing it, and like the ankle roll is so bad. Have you ever had one of the near ankle rolls where your foot just starts going that way and you're so scared you're practically traumatized, you have to sit down because it almost happened?
I haven't had to sit down, but I've had to walk gingerly for a good half mile after that.
Yeah, it's terrifying. So anyways, Trae Young goes down. Knicks go to OT. They get the win. Let's first hear from Julius Randle about the Knicks getting to the 4 spot.
4th place sounds good. But like I said, we're not done yet. We have a long way to go. This is not about just getting 4th place or whatever it is. We're trying to build something here. We're trying to build a culture. We're trying to do things the right way. And we have a team that everybody believes in each other, so we feel like we can do anything. Anything's possible for us.
Guys, I just made this up in my head, and I know it's not happening. But in terms of all-time electric, how crazy would it be if we lived in a world where the Garden could go full capacity for the first playoff game?
Oh.
Can you imagine?
New York, we here.
Oh.
It would be...
I miss what the atmosphere is like for a playoff game of either sport at the Garden. It's off the charts.
Don, do you know when the next upgrade is in terms of amount of fans allowed?
Well, Michael had mentioned moving it up to 25%, I think, early May for the start of the NBA playoffs, I think.
25% in May is what Cuomo said.
The NHL, the Rangers' last home game is scheduled for May 5th, and it doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs. So probably sometime after that, and now 25%, yeah, that's that's still better than nothing. But, yeah, it's been so long since the last Ranger game I did in a full garden was March 7th of last year. So we're going to be going a long time. And can you imagine just how up for grabs this building would be with all these Nick wins?
Oh, I say we just, I mean, let's adopt Texas rules for NBA playoffs. How about that? Just load it up.
You don't even worry about it.
Let it fly.
It might be worth it for the
bring your card. If you're vaccinated, you're in.
I wonder if they could fill the building with vaccination cards.
I bet they could. I absolutely bet you they could. By the time that rolls around, absolutely, I bet you they could.
Let's hear from Shaq on Inside on TNT saying the Knicks aren't fully back yet.
If they get home court advantage in the first round, I'll say the Knicks are back.
Wow. Okay, that's big.
They have been playing well. Tibbs does have been playing at a high level, and Julius Randle balling.
Third best defensive rating in the league.
While Candace over there making faces.
I'm just like.
Candace, they were terrible last year. So
I'm saying, why do they have to be fourth? Why can't you say it?
No. They got to get home court advantage. Stop it.
They have to get home court advantage. Back?
To be back like he's celebrating, like my boy Al Pelagoni and Spike Leiby celebrating.
They've been terrible.
Back.
Give them some props.
They're good, but they're not back.
I love Shaq.
I don't know what back means.
Disagree.
Yeah. If they're not back right now, what are they?
Right. If you want to say back to relevancy, sorry, Shaq, they are.
Yeah. You lost that one.
If you want to say back to, you know, the Ewing Knicks of the mid-90s, then no, they're not back to that.
Of course.
So, but I need to know what back means.
And here's the other thing. So I was trying to figure this out yesterday. What is the number of wins that they need to get to at 33 right now with 12 left to make sure they're in the 4 or the 5? I think that number is 40.
Yeah, I was going to say 40. 40 seems to be right.
And if you look at the schedule, as bad as that road trip is, there are 5 games left on this schedule where the Knicks should beat these teams that they have in front of them. Like, and they are beating teams that they should beat. So that means you got to go find 2 more somewhere else.
Well, this is what we talked about
earlier.
And
not lose any of those.
Right, not lose any of the ones you're supposed to win
and
get 2 more.
So if you go by how many you should win, all right, they've got 3 more games left on this homestand. Raptors, Suns, Bulls. You can go 2-1 there.
Yes. You should go 2-1.
All right, you should go 2-1.
The Bulls aren't bad.
No, but you should beat the Bulls.
Here's the way I look at it. Now, I do the same thing with the Rangers assessing like their schedule. You got to beat the teams that are behind you. All right?
Yes.
You got teams that are behind you in the standings, then you should be able to win those games. And so if that's the case, Toronto's behind them, the Bulls are behind them, Phoenix, one of the best teams in the league. So 2-1, I think, is acceptable. Now, this road trip, and it's daunting, 6 games, but Houston, that's a win, right?
That could be a win.
Can be. Yep, should be.
All right, Memphis is tough. Memphis is above 500.
But that should be a win. They're a better team than Memphis.
But you beat them at the Garden earlier. Yep. Nuggets, you know, Nuggets, one of the best players got hurt, and Murray, all right?
True.
Suns a beast. Clippers, Lakers, Spurs. You could beat the Spurs.
Yep.
So you've got Spurs.
By the way, you could beat the Lakers, depending on what you get.
Right. Now, it's a 6-game road trip, so if they went 2-4, I don't think that's a disaster. Beat the Rockets, beat the Spurs, and just get one of – well, the Spurs are the home game. I'm sorry.
So yeah, the Spurs are at the very end of the – they're the first game back.
Right. So, sorry. So there's the 6 games. Rockets, Grizzlies, Nuggets, Suns, Clippers, Lakers. All right. You should be able to beat the Rockets – and then, Chris, you think they should be able to beat the Grizzlies?
I think they should beat the Grizzlies. That's one of the games
you
get one.
Can you get one of Nuggets, Suns, Clippers, Lakers? If you can do that, a 3-3 road trip, I think, would be fine.
I think a 3-3 road trip is a huge win. If you got one of those other games. And then on the back end of it, you've got what? You've got San Antonio to wrap it up, and then Charlotte and Boston.
Yeah, Hornets and Celtics.
You got to beat Charlotte. So I think that puts you right around there, doesn't it? You know, I mean, it's you have to get one or two games that you're not supposed to get, and you should take care of business against the teams that you should beat.
Right.
Let's talk a little. Well, let me close out the NBA real quick. Steph Curry's streak of 30-point games ends at 11. He was 7 for 25 last night. two for 14 from three, finished with 18 points. Wizards beat the Warriors, and that will do it for his awesome 11 straight 30-point game streak. The last one was 49, of course, against Andrew's Sixers on Monday.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk some Zach Wilson, shall we?
Sure. Yeah.
First, let's hear from Mel Kiper, who's on KJZ, saying Zach Wilson might not start right away.
You're asking a lot to put Zach Wilson, coming from BYU, where he fixed everything this year and got a lot better than he was in 2019 coming off that shoulder injury. You're asking Zach Wilson to be the guy right away? I don't see that happening. I think they're going to get a quarterback somehow, some way. They're going to get a quarterback between now and training camp to be the bridge to Zach Wilson. So I don't think this is going to be Zach Wilson's team. I think it's going to be Zach Wilson's team eventually. Look what happened to Justin Herbert. Wasn't supposed to be his team. Tyrod Taylor hurt. He got his shot, and the rest is history. So, but I don't think Wilson is the guy this year right away.
I don't know how to feel about that.
I can't imagine where he wouldn't start.
Yeah, everything points to him starting because think about it. Obviously, we've got some guys recently. But who has been drafted that high that didn't start right away?
And I can give you names of guys who are left, and it's not exactly murderer's row. You know, it's if Alex Smith was playing again, maybe, but he's not. Yeah. A.J. McCarron, Matt Barkley, Josh McCown, he's only 42.
That was going to be my other point. The guys that did sit.
Yeah.
Right? Rodgers sat in front of who? Future Hall of Famer, Brett Favre, right?
Exactly.
Eli sat in front of who? A future Hall of Famer and Kurt Warner. Pat Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith, borderline Hall of Famer, but a very good quarterback at the time. So that I can remember, and correct me if I'm wrong or somebody can tweet me, when was the last quarterback drafted this high that sat behind some journeyman that you picked up that year specifically to be a stopgap before you handed the reins over to your franchise quarterback?
That's just not really how things work anymore.
No.
No.
You start him, and that's why I think he's going to start. And you're just going to have to live with the slings and arrows because, you know, yo-yo fans will be like, oh, my God, he looked awful in that first game. No, you're going to have to live with it, let him get through it, because who's he watching? Not watching anybody that you want him to emulate. At the time, Mahomes was taking, what, 10th overall. If you can get Alex Smith out of him, you'd be happy. So Alex Smith back was the one that started. Same thing with Eli. If you can get Kurt Warner out of him, great. But – you just mentioned the guys that there isn't anybody. Stop. This kid's playing.
Listen,
opening day.
When you want to get an opinion from someone who matters, you think of former NFL great John Beck. Am I right?
Wouldn't you?
By the way, Anthony was just saying he didn't remember him. And Anthony, I said, you don't remember when he was Washington's quarterback? He said, when was it? I said, I think it was a few years ago. No, it was 2011. I love being at this age where 2017, 2011, I'm not really sure. Anyways, Beck, of course, went to BYU, is close with Wilson, and here's John Beck on KJZ, asked if Wilson can handle New York media.
This I will say about Provo, Utah. When you're a quarterback there, there's a legacy of quarterbacks dating way back to when Lavelle Edwards was there. There's a lot of All-Americans. There's David O'Brien winners. There's guys who are in the College Football Hall of Fame. There's a Heisman Trophy winner. That one position is the face of Provo, Utah. It means so much to that university, and it is scrutinized a lot. And, you know, a lot of people, they've asked me, how is Zach Wilson, who's now going to potentially be the number two pick in the draft, how was he in a quarterback battle entering fall camp? It's because of the expectations that are there at the quarterback position. Even though Provo, Utah may not be a big place in the United States, the expectations are very high. And if their quarterback is not performing up there with some of the top guys in the country, well, the question is, do we need to go get somebody else? So that's very similar to what it's going to be like in the NFL. Can I say that that pressure is the same as New York? No, it's not. But I do believe it's at least will act as a stepping stone to help prepare Zach for what it's going to be like if he is the Jets' choice.
You know what? It really helps solidify his point when you talk about the greatness at the quarterback position at BYU, and no one has even heard of the person you're talking to, and he was quarterback there.
Listen, yeah, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Don.
I'm sorry, Chris.
No, I'm sorry, Don.
How about both of you lay out? Let's hear from John Beck again.
Again?
I think that Zach does a great job within BYU's offense is recognizing the reason why the play is being called, understanding when there's an opportunity to take a shot downfield, understanding when it's not there and being smart and distributing the football underneath. Those qualities are what's going to help him be successful in the NFL because you can't just force balls downfield against good secondaries. You can't stand in the pocket too long hoping for something to develop downfield with the pass rush that happens in the NFL. You have to be really smart at knowing when is there an opportunity to push it downfield. When do I have to get the ball out quick? When is this drive going to be a drive where it's a 13-play drive, work the ball down the field, taking what the defense gives us? And when is there that opportunity versus a specific coverage or when I do have a man-on-man situation where, hey, he may have decent coverage, but this is my guy. This is a big-time wideout that I can give him a 50-50 ball, and I believe that that wideout is going to make it an 80-20 ball.
I did that. Please.
I know he's a quarterback coach, and I know he's working with him.
Oh my God!
But you lose me when you talk about the pressure in Provo, Utah. I just went and looked. Did you know that Provo, Utah is not one of the top 210 media markets in this country?
How about I had never heard the word Provo, Utah until 5 minutes ago.
Wow.
Wow. Really?
That's where BYU is?
Did you ever see the movie Fletch?
Does it take place in Provo?
Well, Provo is a part of it.
And a little Ocean's 11, the brothers were from Provo, Utah.
That's correct. Yes.
But listen, he makes a great point about, listen, no matter where you play, there's going to be scrutiny and you're judged because in college football, whatever team you play for, the fan base does care. So that could be equivalent to, all right, the pressure of going to the NFL, but to coming to New York, trying to be the first quarterback since Namath to be great, you know, There's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot of pressure that's not even comparable. It's just not.
Bag it, Beck. Honestly.
Bag it, Beck. Well said. Truest words you've ever said on this show.
Might be.
Let's hear from Robert Saleh on his thoughts on the Darnold trade.
There was a lot of discussions that Joe, his staff, and our staff, we all had, and there was a lot of evaluation that took place, and you know, I'm excited for Sam. It's a great opportunity for him to fulfill what he's capable of and being the number three pick. So of all the things that have transpired, I'm most excited for Sam and him getting the opportunity to do great things in Carolina.
What about, can you tell us more about Provo, Utah?
I had heard, and I'd take this for what it's worth, which is very little. I had heard that initially it would, you know, that Saleh wanted to keep Sam and that Joe was very much in the camp of, you know, drafting the quarterback. And then eventually, you know, they got on the same page.
Right. And I never thought for a second that had anything to do with him being in love with Sam, although he had more knowledge of Sam because he had to prepare to play against Sam. And probably wasn't paying much attention to what was happening with college football. But he's probably hearing what everybody's saying about him being a bit of a project and not starting right away. And Saleh's like, yeah, so do I really want to go to New York of all places and finish 3-13 while I'm babysitting the quarterback? Or do I want a quarterback that's at least been here, that has done some things? That was probably his motivation, right?
I would think so. And I think also the fact that you can look at the roster and understand that there are many, 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 many holes to fill.
Right, and the holes were starting to get filled, but we won't see that bear fruit until later in the year if you've got a quarterback that is either, A, going to be not ready to play in the NFL or just somebody you picked up on the scrap heap to just play until he is ready. That doesn't smell like a lot of wins early.
No.
And I'm sure he doesn't want to get off to the, do I really want to be the coach and, like, lose my first 7 games and have people calling for me to get fired in my first head coaching job in the NFL?
Let's hear from about the other New York football team. You remember?
Shall
that?
We?
Yeah, the New York Football Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Boston's favorite son, Dave Gettleman, talked about the possibility of trading back and the myth that he does not trade back.
I've tried in the past. Honest, I've tried to trade back. But it's going to be value. I'm not getting fleeced. I refuse to do it. And if, you know, somebody wants to make a bad trade back, God bless them. But, you know, we've had opportunities. I've tried. And there, you have to understand the other piece of this, Dan, is sometimes you have a trade and the guy that the team is trading up for gets picked in front of you. We've had that happen to us. We got a trade, and the so-and-so selects, no trade, Dave, goodbye. And they hang the phone up on me. So that happens too. I mean, it's like it's almost becoming urban myth. I've tried. I really have.
Yeah. I always thought that was kind of a joke. It's not like he's been a general manager for 40 years.
No, but here's the big issue, okay? When he locked in on Saquon, he stopped answering the phone and didn't even consider it leading up, like when they were actually in the draft room, right, in the war room, didn't even answer the phone. And that's where I got a problem
with. I believe he was told not to answer the phone. I don't have evidence, but that's my belief. Is that he was under orders. You're taking Saquon.
Wow.
Well, because has he conducted himself the same since then? No. Then all of a sudden, when it didn't work, it's been full-blown rebuilt. But I believe he was under orders. I can't prove that. The Giants will deny it. But I think Peter's with me. I think when he took the job, it was get me another ring for Eli. And that's why he paid for Solder. That's why he drafted Barkley.
That's the only thing that makes sense in retrospect. Here's something fun.
Please.
Pete Alonso is aiming to defend his home run derby title at Coors Field over the All-Star break.
See, Pete gets it. You know, you want to go out. You want to have guys that want to be in these kind of things. That's great.
Yeah. Especially there.
Yeah, oh, I know. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's gonna be a fun one. Of course, he edged out Vlad Guerrero Jr. back in 2019, a really fun one. There was no home run derby last year, so would be cool to see him defend this year, and I imagine he will get that opportunity. That will do it for ENN
well
on this
done.
Thursday, April the 22nd.
You know what that was? Executed brilliantly.
Oh, yeah, it was very good.
Really, thank you.
Terrific thank job. You, Yankees thank threatening you. In the top of the first inning. Can they get a big hit from Torres? A lot of eyeballs on him for sure.
Edge of my seat.
As they're scoreless in the top of the first inning. Peter, great job as usual. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at
2. Let's do it again.
Carlin, back tomorrow?
No.
On ENN?
I think it's a 7 o'clock game tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. We have Kayster tomorrow.
Yeah. So. All right.
It was a
no,
pleasure.
No cheap knockoffs tomorrow night.
Oh, how dare you.
Next on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.